runners, handlebars, runners went through, but my handlebars caught on the other side of the crevice, and I went through. Well, I hit on the other side of the glacier and knocked all the breath out of me, and I guess I was out for a little while, because when I come to, I looked up, and there was the bushiest head I ever seen, looking down at me and just a cussing. Boy, he was just calling me all the damn fools and everything else I could think of. Well, I just woke up mad, that's all there was to it. And got on my feet, and I got hold of my glacier, and then my sled. And, of course, then he went stalking. He said, listen, kid, he said, I was cussing you to keep you from making a fool of yourself. He said, if you'd have stepped 6 foot either way, he said, you'd have went into that crevice. And he said, I didn't want you to roll and make a mistake. And, well, we got to be good friends afterwards. But they reached down and pulled me out, and I went on to camp, but I was plenty sore next morning, but I got into camp. My camp was only about a mile down, and I got to thinking about that after I got to camp. Now, by gee, that, after all, was a cutoff, and it wasn't over 6 foot down or seven, and so I just took my shovel and went back up, and I filled that darn thing up with snow, and tested it with my shovel handle, and walked clear up to the trail and back, and boy, I found a name for myself, Slim's Cutoff. I was somebody. Well, with my three little dogs, and I was getting pretty well known on the trail, I'm telling you. And I got to the top of the glacier. I think it was about 7,000 feet. Now, I don't know. But when I hit the glacier at the top, was just like a box canyon. You went through a the high bluffs, and you just didn't see anything for about 50 or 100 yards. But when I come out on the other side, there was the most beautiful sight I ever looked at in my life. About 7 or 8 miles below was a lake. It is about 15 miles long and about 5 miles wide, and timber on it, all around it. Well, the timber was all green, all 30, 40 miles away, it was a river, which is the Copper River, I found out afterwards. You could see it every once in a while show up through that green timber. It was beautiful. On the way off, it was close to 100 miles from me. 75, anyhow, was the Wrangell Mountains. Well, now they're 12, 14, and 16,000 feet, and some feet besides, I don't remember exactly, but Drum was the lowest, Wrangell was next, and that's an active volcano, and smoke was rolling out of the top of that volcano, and it was right in the middle of the three mountains. Well, sir, I fell in love with that mountain, I fell in love with the whole country, as far as that is concerned. Boy, I did like it. I just felt, gee, this is all my world. I own it all. I knew it was mine to just explore, and I never got such a thrill, I think, in my life. Of course, north you could see the Alaska Range, and south you could see the Coast Range, and boy, that was a sight to behold. And there I was standing in a kind of a box canyon, and to the south of me, that bluff was, I don't know, maybe 1,000 feet high, it looked like it. But down to that lake was my big, first big jump. Well, I got myself, you know, in this outfit, the old fella had left me a .45-70 rifle and 4 boxes of ammunition. I didn't have any rifle, didn't have any gun at all, in fact. The old man had left me this rifle. Well, I got myself all the stuff all down to the lake, and the lake had begun to thaw. It was getting towards May then. The lake had begun to thaw, and they had quit the trail, quit the lake, quit hauling on the lake. And the camp, the main camp, they'd built some cabins down there, and they was all a couple of hundred men. And just all camped down. That's where the river left the lake. And went on to Copper Center. Well, I wanted to get to the foot of that lake, so I loaded me up a one of my tents and a little outfit and some dog feed and a rifle. But when I got to the foot of that lake, my first trip, there was rabbits there, and that was the first snowshoe rabbits I'd seen. And, gee, I was hungry for meat and thinks I'll get me a rabbit. Well, with this big 45, rabbit was sitting not over 75 feet from me. And so I pulled down on him and turned loose, and I got him. But about all I got out of it was two hind legs that shot all the rest away. But I had a rabbit anyhow. But the next day, the trail was awful bad. It was brush to cross through, and someplace you run on a bare ground. And, oh, it was a tough one. And I got to thinking, gee, all that outfit's going to be a terrible job dragging that 15 miles to the lower end of the lake where you got to, left by a boat then and went to Copper Center. That is what I found out afterwards. But I went back to camp, and I'd never seen the moonlight there like it was in the morning. I went to bed that night, tired, of course. And next morning I woke up, and gee, it was daylight. Everything looked as light in my camp, and I got out of bed, and my dog was asleep all right. They wouldn't bother me. Looked at me kind of disgusted, like, why did I get up? And so I looked at my time, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, that moon was just as bright as any day you ever seen. And I said, well, being as I'm up, and it was cold, darn cold. And that's the way it does up there, you know. Some nights you get some awful cold nights after it begins to thaw. And I went down to the lake to get me some water to make myself some coffee. And by gee, the water was froze. And those little pieces of ice, the old ice that come out of the lake, why, I stepped on them. They were solid, and I went back and got my shovel. I tested it, walked out on the lake. Boy, it was just as hard as could be. Well, dumb kid, you know, again. I says, gee, here's where I make that 15 miles without any trouble. And by this time, I had 3 sleds. I'd picked up another on the glacier. And by having one load down there, I just figured I could put all of my stuff on 3 sleds, hook up my dogs, and go down that glacier just to kiten that 15 miles, and there would just be nothing to it. So I just got busier in a cranberry merchant, getting those sleds loaded, and as I got the 3 lead sleds loaded and all set up, why, the sun had just begun to come over the Wrangell Mountains, and I started down the glacier, down the ice. Well, it was just as hard as ice ever was, until, maybe 6 or 7 miles, and the sun had begun to warm it up a little bit, and it began to give away with me. You've seen the ice when it's thawing, and it seems like a million little candles standing on end. Well, these little candles, by the time I got opposite the camp, was about 6 or 8 inches long, and I'd begin to worry. Well, it was quite a string of ice. I would say 30 feet wide, and probably 100 feet or 150 feet from the main ice to shore. I'd noticed that when I was down there. And there was nothing to it now. I was right at camp, and another couple of hundred feet, and I had it. And the lake had a bluff there about 3 feet high, rocks, but places to walk down between it. And so I hollered a haul of brownie, and we started for shore. It was all tickled as I was to start ashore, and that load is coming along a little heavy then. But I must have had 1,200 pound on altogether, 1,000 anyhow. Well, as I started ashore and got onto this little neck of ice, the water commenced to come up on me a little more and a little more, and pretty soon I was in water to my knees, and I wasn't looking anywhere. I was just yelling at my dogs and hurrying. And all at once, bing, and everything happened. Clinking of ice, and I was in the water, my dogs were in the water. Everything had happened at once, and I was pawing for a piece of ice to keep on top, and I see my dog, my wheeler, go down. Fat went down right beside of me, and then Brownie went, and then Blue, and then Brownie. They all went under, and about about that time a rope lit right beside of me. And boy, I knew what that meant. I grabbed that rope and I wrapped it around me. And those fellas on the bank, there was a dozen there by that time, and they pulled me ashore. And boy, if you think I wasn't a sick kid looking back at that outfit all gone. Well, I come up the bank, and somebody had went into my tent and got me some dry clothes. I was cold. Boy, that water was cold. Just ice cold, that's all there was to it. Somebody went into the tent and got me some clothes. They were all building a fire, and nobody saying one word. That's the silent men who do things. And that's where I got the best example of it I ever had in my life. I don't think there was three words spoke, but everything was done. And first thing you know, I was alone, and everybody was gone. And I just crawled in my tent. Well, the sun had warmed my tent up. It wasn't bad in there at all. I'd changed my clothes, of course, for the fire. And I imagine I'd been a half hour from the time I'd dumped into the water until I had got my clothes changed and everybody had left. And I just crawled into my tent. And, well, I don't think I cried, but I could have awful easy, I'll tell you that, because I was the worst cut-up kid that ever you would run across. Well, there I was, no outfit. I was plumb out of outfit. Just what was the next move, I couldn't imagine. But I got to thinking about my dogs and my outfit. Now, maybe I could make a grappling hook and find them. But it's only about a quarter of a mile from there to where the river took off out of the lake. But an old Indian, when I was a kid, taught me how to make a canvas boat by tying willows together, you know, and all of that. Well, I had plenty of canvas. So I got busy, and the next day, awful busy on the canvas boat. Well, I got my canvas boat made, and I had a big can of lard for dog feed. And, well, it was about half full. I'd say 10 pounds, anyhow. And so I melted that, and I rubbed it on the bottom of this boat and just saturated the oil so to be sure it wouldn't leak, because I didn't know what was going on or what to do about that boat. And then I made me a grappling hook. I got some iron and some rocks, and I fixed me up a kind of a grappling hook. Well, I spent 3 or 4 days trying to catch on to them dogs, but I never did. The water was 20 foot deep right up close to the lake, and out it was 40 feet deep. And I think the river leaving as it was so close that there was a kind of a current, and that's what took my dogs and outfit away, that they didn't sink entirely, that is, heavy on the ground. And I had flour, of course, and a lot of stuff on the sled.